Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yo. The Sasaki stuff is hilarious. Keep it fierce on the Fan. 888-808. 101.9. I'm looking into it. I think in my open, I'm trying to see what the money is. It isn't like when Yamamoto came over here and signed for, like, remember last year we thought Yamamoto was going to be a deal, like a $250 million starter, and then he ended up getting $325 million. I just saw Trevor Plouffe put out, the Dodgers have assembled the best roster since I don't know when. Sasaki for bonus pool money and the league minimum is an absolute cheat code. Bro, like, the Dodgers are doing this. They're playing 3D chess. They're doing this at a different level. Like, as much as we want to talk about deferred money, as much as we want to talk about, you know, how much Steve Cohen spent for Juan Soto, they're a cut above everybody. And we knew it all along. I remember being on the Fan during the winter meetings, and it was late one night, and I played the clip from Joel Wolf saying how, oh, you know, Roki, he doesn't want to be around teammates with, you know, verbose personalities. Yeah, there's none of that in L.A. He doesn't want to be in a big media market. This guy took all of his official visits. He went and checked on everybody. Just this week, I was telling you, I saw a video of him pitching in Petco Park wearing team-issued Padres gear. None of that matters. None of that matters. He was always going to join his World Baseball Classic teammates, the champion Japanese team, and link up with Ohtani and Yamamoto. And if you haven't seen, just Google Roki Sasaki highlights and watch his throwing motion. Watch how this guy pitches. He throws gas. He's like long bodied. They got another one.
And one more thing on your note about Sasaki. Essentially, it's you need international bonus money. That's what they're doing.
They just made a trade, right?
The Dodgers just made a trade with the Phillies that includes international bonus pool space per source. And this is with Kylie McDaniel. So essentially, this is nothing to do with money. Honestly.
No, it's playing the game right. Finessing the game.
This is nothing to do with money. This guy.
They leave no stone unturned. They are always going for it. They are playing 3D chess.
Absolutely. He wanted to go to the Dodgers for whatever reason, whether it's Shohei, whether it's Yamamoto, whatever. He could have went to any team, and it's the same money every team. And he chose the Dodgers because of his because
they didn't even have enough space on their roster. Bro. You know what just like made me just like the Phillies just helped them do this, and Toronto Blue Jays fans for like 24 hours thought that they had a shot, and that's a great segue into, you know, the first call we're going to get into. But there was a report about the Blue Jays and Dodgers scrambling for the pool money and trying to make trades and knock on doors and figure it out. And so of course the Dodgers get it done. He was never going to the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays can't beg people to come up there and take their money. They have to keep Vladdy. If you think you're getting Vladdy, you're going to have to give up major league players and top prospects via trade. If you think you're getting Vladdy in free agency, you're going to have to overpay for him And I think that the Blue Jays are going to understand, hey, this is a guy that came up in our system. His dad was with the Montreal Expos. We can't afford to lose him. We got to match any offer. We got to do things that people don't even know. They got to build him an embassy next door to Drake's embassy. He's got to have his own mansion like Drake in Toronto. Like, they got to do whatever to keep him there because nobody wants to go there.
Right. The only way that they're going to trade Vladdy is if he told them, being a good person, I'm not resigning, trade me. That's the only way they can actually do it. If Vladdy just and his reps told the Blue Jays front office, guys, he's not resigning, you should really consider trading him now. Get what you can for him. He's an asset you're going to lose, and you're going to get nothing back for said asset. So make a move. Now, that's the only way this could happen. And you're right. It's a shame. Nobody wants to go to Toronto. And even Passan tweeted it. I'm sorry, Toronto. Like, it is what it is.
They thought they had a chance at Ohtani. They thought they had a chance at Juan Soto. They thought they had a chance at Sasaki. Nobody wants to go there. And maybe Pete Alonso goes there.
And it's not like they don't have money. Toronto has a ton of money up there.
Yeah.
There's a ton of money. Look at what the Maple Leafs, with the hockey, look how much money they spend.
You had to drop that on me. I know why you did that. You had to mention the Leafs. We can't beat them. The Devils cannot beat the Maple Leafs. They got the secret sauce for Sheldon Keefe. I don't want to watch the Devils face the Leafs again. I was there on opening night. They have not beat. They can't beat them. They can't beat them. I don't want to even talk about hockey tonight. 888-808-1019. Karl-Anthony Towns is officially out tonight for the Winter Mets. He will not be on floor for the Knicks against his former team. 888-808-1019. Carmelo's in Freehold, New Jersey. First up on the Fan.
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just have a question, but there's some nuance that I have to tease out here. We saw Jeff McNeil have a career year at 30 years old, and then since then, his production at the plate has declined. Personally, I think that's the baseball gods punishing him for exiting the game early at the end of the season to win the batting title, just as they did Jose Reyes. Also, in Philly, we saw Bryce Harper move from right field to first base. It looks like the Mets are moving away from Pete, and especially with the A.J. Minter signing instead of Tanner Scott, it looks like they're playing some money ball. What if Vientos doesn't move to first base? He stays at third. They develop him. They move Juan Soto from right field to first base. And at
this
the
year?
Risk of having a repeat this year, and at the risk of having a repeat like with Jeff McNeil, they go out and they get Jurickson Profar and put him in the outfield. Because he just is coming off of a career year. He's a solid defender.
Yeah, I bet the Padres do everything they can to bring him back. He was a huge part of their success last year. And look at the Dodgers. I'm following you, though. I'm countering.
Yeah, yeah.
Juan Soto, they can't move out of right field. You can't pay a guy $51 million at 26, not try to get him to play in the outfield and just stick him at first base. Maybe down the road, but I wouldn't do that in 2024.
But even with 2025.
No, you can't. Everyone's in such a rush to get Soto to first base or Judge to first base. These guys are young. They can still run. You got to get use of them out there. You can't just transition them that fast.
Watch what I say. Go get Jurickson Profar. Because, I mean, the Padres still haven't signed him.
Maybe,
they really wanted
right.
him.
Maybe they could get Profar. But I would bet that Profar wants to stick with that team. He's a big part of that team. I don't think he wants to come all the way over here to New York and join the Mets.
That's fair.
Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I don't know. I'm not sure how much more movement the Mets are going to have with their lineup and their position players, but I don't think we should be dreaming up scenarios to move Juan Soto out of right field. You just signed him to the largest contract. Like, you need to get him. He should be, as soon as he can, down there in Florida, getting reps and getting real good at playing right field. Are the dimensions at, and I have no idea because I've never been to the Mets spring training facility, Paulie. I'm assuming they would do what the Yankees do and some other teams do. Their spring training ballpark is the same dimensions of Citi Field. Like, I would get Juan Soto reps and get him ready for right field in Queens. I'm not moving him to first base. Vientos at first base. And Profar, the Padres gave him an opportunity last year. He had a big year for them And I know the Padres are like, damn, we missed out on Sasaki. The Dodgers are stacked. They're in our division. We went toe-to-toe with them, where after the Dodgers crapped all over the Yankees and laughed at the Yankees and talked about how they knew they were going to beat the Yankees because self-inflicted wounds and they were going to play Yankee defense, all they did was sing the praises of the Padres. They said that was the World Series. Coming back, beating the Padres, that was the toughest test. So I think Profar stays out there. Let's go out to Long Beach. Jen, you're on the fan. Go for it.
Hi, Keith. How you doing tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Okay, so I just want to tell you one thing right off the bat is, like, I get in the car at night to go home, and it's the time that you're usually on the radio, and it makes me so happy to hear you instead of another game on the radio. So great job. Appreciate
Thank you very
it.
Much.
And I enjoyed listening it. To you. So a couple things. 58 years old, Division II softball player, still trying to play softball. I don't know how good I'm doing, but I'm still trying. You know, so I know about teams. And first thing I just want to say is, like, I'm just so disappointed in Pete. Like, I know it's all about the money. It's a business. But, man, like, nothing said about, like, all the fun you had with these guys last year that you would want to stay here, how much you love the fans. But that's what happens kind of, I guess, when you go and get Scott Boras as your agent. But,
yeah.
With that being said, like, you know, I'm just thinking of it as a business point of view for the MLB. Like, here you have the Dodgers who have all this money deferred, so it allows them to go out and still purchase players at a large sum of money. So my thought is, don't you see, like, anything happening just with the Major League Baseball in general if something isn't done about the deferments? I mean, thank God I'm a Mets fan, and we have a new, you know, guy who owns a team who has tons of money, so
yeah.
Not so much me. But what about the small market teams like the Kansas City Royals? Or
the small market teams need to spend some money.
It's never going to be even. You know,
no, and they don't care, unfortunately. I think baseball likes the Dodgers being who they are. They're not doing anything wrong. They're not breaking any rules. It's just a loophole that they found and they're exploiting. And, like, L.A., that market for the Dodgers to be this, and what they have internationally now with these Japanese fans from Ohtani, Yamamoto, Sasaki, Major League Baseball is not mad at it. They would love for it to be Dodgers, Yankees, and even Dodgers, Mets, NLCS. They would love to run it back with L.A. versus New York twice late in October next year, or this year.
Right. And I'm 100% with you, too. Like, I'm not a Yankee hater. I always feel like it's so good for New York City. Like, we always come together when there is a championship. So if the Mets are out, I root for the Yankees. And that's basically it. Really enjoy listening to you. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks for the call and the compliment. Keep playing, Jen. Keep playing. All of you that still play whatever you used to play, whether you hoop, whether you play softball, flag football, there's just, like, something it does to your, like, heart and spirit to, like, get back out there. I'm completely washed. I don't play anything. I always have the itch, but I just have nowhere to scratch the itch. I have nowhere to throw a football, nowhere to catch a football, nowhere to go run. I don't even have enough time to go hoop. So, yeah, keep playing. 888-808-1019. What you said about Pete and the team dynamic, it's not personal. It's business. I'm sure his relationships that he has with people in that clubhouse will continue. I'm sure the non-relationships that, you know, he might not have relationships with everybody, you know, that will continue as well and might actually be a bigger thing. I picked up on something earlier today. Talking Baseball posted a comment from Evan Longoria. Yankee fans, you remember Evan Longoria. Baseball fans, you all know him. Was playing third base for the Tampa Bay Rays, was even playing third base for the Diamondbacks. I don't know. I think he's out of league now. But Evan Longoria wrote on a post that had the Mets' new lineup, minus Pete, adding Jesse Winker in there. And his comment was, could be great, but hammer the over on clubhouse fights and raccoons and cancers in the clubhouse. So I'm like, what does he mean by that? Evan Longoria doesn't think the Mets clubhouse will get along well. And I don't know about that. I don't know where he's getting off with that. He might know some of the players, but I think what he's looking at is the personalities. You know, I think he's looking at Jesse Winker, agitator. Jose Siri, agitator. Juan Soto coming in, richest man in the sport. Lindor leading the way, MVP, should be a captain, trying to kind of wrangle those guys. Second-year manager Carlos Mendoza trying to kind of wrangle those guys. Guys that have been there, like Nimmo and McNeil, looking around like, what the hell happened to this place?
Jose Siri, too, who has been...
That's what I said, agitator.
Agitator, been in some issues with that Yankee Stadium. That's a good point from... I think that's a fair take to have.
I think that's anywhere, though.
Specifically,
these guys are alphas.
How the Mets were built right now, specifically with the money and Juan Soto and this, that, the other thing, there will be a large target on their back, and a target means more pressure on them.
Yeah.
Meaning if someone messes up,
they have to be together
to hear about it.
They have to be bonded. And that's what, like, the special year that the Mets had last year, that's a forever bond. Those guys will remember those moments where it was back against the wall, do or die, and they did forever. And you've broken a lot of that group up. It's hard to put the pieces together again. This is a not completely different group, but a completely different year. Like you said, they will have a target on their back. They'll have some new pieces. They'll be missing some pieces. It's a huge question mark if the rotation will come together the way it did last year, and if these guys will be able to hit like they did for stretches last year.
Absolutely.
And if they'll be able to take on being, hey, that's, you know, what I opened up basically saying. It's us against the Dodgers now. It used to just be the Yankees going out there against the top teams. Like, no. The Mets are going to be looked at as a top team. They're expected to win more than 90 games, compete for the division, be in the postseason. Will this group be able to handle all that?
This is no more of the Grimish trash and the OMG trash and the Hawk Tua trash and like the all
yo,
all
Tua,
that. This is no more of that.
She disappeared. You noticed that?
Well, she had the Bitcoin issue. But
she scammed everybody and she got out of Dodge.
She scammed everyone. It was an issue she had.
You can't find her.
But the Mets are they're this is nothing to mess around with. When you put $800 million to sign a top three player in the sport, you better win. The product you put out on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of Mets fans are upset with Alonso or upset with the Mets about Alonso. Not having Alonso back is a massive loss and a massive gap in the lineup. I agree with that. I don't think it's on the Mets. I think it's on Pete Alonso, but that's another story. But they have to perform this season. And
right away.
If they don't sign, if Pete Alonso doesn't sign, then they need someone at first base.
He's not signing with the Mets.
Then they have to do some hard work, whether that's Vladimir Guerrero and convincing that to happen, whether
that can't
that's
happen
a free agent.
They're not putting together a trade package. Stearns won't. Stearns will not. You're going to give up Brandon Sproat in that trade package?
I don't really value prospects.
Here's my
question. Is that guy ever going to be as good as Vladdy?
But he'll be in a package with four other guys.
And they're you all have to saying wait.
That
you have
they're
to
all
wait.
Saying that the Blue Jays are looking to get a Juan Soto type package for Vladdy.
Right.
The Yankees gave up four arms.
Right. I guess the better thing is, would you give up, you know, a Beatty Vientos type thing for Vladdy? I think that's a little bit more like that's kind of what we're talking about.
Brett Beatty, maybe Vientos. Yeah.
And for me, I would. I don't care who I part with because that player, Vladdy. He's a top of the top tier player. And I don't know if any of those young guys are that. I know what Vladdy is. We Mets fans know who that guy is. We have no idea who random guys are in the minors like Jet Williams. We don't know what Brett Beatty's going to turn into. We have no idea.
You're going to start seeing him because Stearns is going to start evaluating young talent and all that. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Paul and Yonkers on the fan. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good evening, Keith.
Good evening.
Only the Mets can make a mess out of this.
The New York mess.
With this Pete situation. What they don't understand, they just took the bat out of Soto's hand. Let me explain. Pete leaves with his 40 homers. Soto's up with second and third and two out. He would never see a pitch. There's no Pete behind him to fear. So it's not who you're going to pitch to, Soto or Pete. It's Soto, and we don't care who's batting behind him. Soto is going to be walked like you ain't never going to say.
Oh, yeah.
For the whole year. That's the damage of not signing Pete or any power bat.
I mean, they're going to have to figure it out, whether it's Jesse Winker, whether it's Nimmo, whether it's Vientos.
Oh, boy. Any of them. any of them.
They're going to have to figure it out.
Soto's going to be a walking machine. You brought him in to take the bat out of his hand. That's what you did here.
Thanks for the call, Paul. I thought he was about to break down next. 888-808-1019. It's crazy for me as a Yankees fan and Yankee fans listening because we saw the tandem of Soto and Judge and how potent that was, and it was really pick your poison. I remember this time last year arguing with people that they have to both bat in the first inning, no matter what. I don't care who the leadoff hitter is. I don't care if it's Judge, Soto, Soto, Judge. Of course it made sense for Judge to be behind Soto. I don't know how many times I was physically in there watching the game. Soto works a walk. Soto a little slap single to right. Judge is coming up. Throw him a pitch he can hit, and there's two runs on the board. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Talk about your Giants on the Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Right back at it on the Fan in New York. Happy Friday. Happy football Friday. We're going to get there, but I like to talk about baseball, especially when the news breaks that the reigning champs signed Roki Sasaki. All that just to be a Dodger? Like, we even got a little kick out of it last week where it was like, oh, there's some trouble brewing with the ownership. The widow of the, you know, Padres owner is suing the brothers, and maybe Roki Sasaki doesn't want to go there. Where would he go? Well, he grew up idolizing Masahiro Tanaka, and come on, bro. I mean, I played into it for radio purposes. I didn't really believe. If you go back, I got to go back. I think Fleegs was on with me that night. I told Fleegs straight up. I told everybody straight up. I'm like, he's saying he wants to go to a small market. And I, you know what? I took a call that night. I'm like, if he wants a small market, then it's Padres. But I don't see how he goes against the Dodgers. 888-808-1019. And I took a call that night, and the gentleman called me, and he said, Keith, if he wants a small market and wants to hide from the media, no better place to go than the Dodgers. Look at how well they hid Shohei Ohtani's whole gambling scandal. And I was like, you're damn right. You are right. Greg is in Atlanta. What's up, Greg? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing this evening?
Good. How are you?
All right. Enjoyed our last conversation regarding Pete. And like I said, it's I always listen to your show. I'm right there with you regarding the Dodgers. I find them to be definitely the evil empire. And however it goes, I just hope we all, you know, just do whatever we can and see if we can get rid of them. Just knock them out of it. It's going
to
be tough.
Whoever it may be. I would love for it to be the Mets. I would love for the Yankees to get it done. I don't care if it's the Padres. If it's the Braves, somebody, like, just I don't see them going back-to-back, but they're stacked. And I just saw this. Roki Sasaki will get $6.5 million from the Dodgers during the break. Paulie and I made a joke at the same time that there's probably $6 million deferred to 2035.
Hey, I was going to say, though, I mean, I thought that whole thing with him going interviewing with all these other teams, that was just posturing.
Yes.
I mean, the writing was on the wall. I mean, that guy played with Ohtani for Japan.
And also, Greg, him and Yamamoto have the same agent, Joel Wolf.
Well, there you go. Yeah, writing was on the wall. I already knew the writing was on. I was like, hey, this is just Toronto. I was like, yeah, right. No, come on.
No.
Who are you kidding?
Nobody goes to Toronto.
No. But I think the Yankees and the Mets are definitely going to have to get more creative when it comes to this deferred salary thing. You got to fight fire with fire, as far as I'm concerned, at this stage. That's about the only way you're going to be able to match.
Yeah, if you're shook of the luxury tax and the Cohen tax and going over that apron, then you got to start doing some of this. And I don't know, man. It's a little bit discouraging because they have it all figured out, it seems.
By far. But once again, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. I thank you for taking my call. I just have one more last thing to say real quick regarding Pete Alonso. Now, I feel bad that, you know, he didn't get re-signed, but like I said, at the end of the day, like I think I spoke with you the night before, I just said basically it was, I think in reality with thirds, I think they could have come up a little bit and maybe made it like 27.5 AAV. Maybe that would have
yeah,
been able to do it.
I get the idea. I get the idea. Well, Scott Boras isn't easy to deal with like that.
This was all on Scott Boras. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I told you, like we spoke last night, the writing was on the wall regarding that, especially the fact that the market was flooded with all those first basemen. And that's once I saw that and those transactions happening, I said it's going to be tough. And the draft compensation thing is what teams are considering as well. So I think that it was kind of stacked against them. I feel bad for Pete, you know. I wish we were able to resign him, but that's the name of the game, supply.
Thanks for the call, Greg. Sorry, man. You're on speaker. I was trying to give you your time, but we got to move it on. And yeah, we can feel bad for people. Why? He's accountable in this. He has to be accountable in this. He is the one that turned down the 7 years, $158 million. We've seen this happen with Michael Conforto. I remember a couple years ago, Dennis Schroeder turned down the bag from the Lakers. I forget what the numbers were, but it was an all-time fumble for where he ended up. He ended up on five different teams six. Not maybe not six. The Warriors, Brooklyn Nets. Excuse me. You know, but like these are mistakes that get made by players either overvaluing themselves or what they're gonna do, and it's unfortunate. But like they only have themselves to blame, and it's something that you may never live down. 888-808-1019. Yeah, it was five teams: the Boston Celtics, the Toronto Raptors, the Houston Rockets, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Golden State Warriors. Should have just taken the bag to stay in L.A. with LeBron. These guys get bad information, yo. They get these agents who are not them, these agents who are just money guys. Like, not for nothing, Scott Boras has screwed a lot of guys in these last few years. I know Jordan Montgomery hates him. I know last year I was talking about the Boras Five. You can take Matt Chapman out and put Pete Alonso in that five now. Pete Alonso, Jordan Montgomery, JD Martinez, Blake Snell. Well, I guess you could take Blake Snell out. Now he's with the Dodgers. The Boras Four and JD Martinez. All of those guys, Scott Boras' clients, they got the short end of the stick. Short-term deals with opt-outs, and they ended up being affected as far as not being ready for the season. They weren't in camp. It dragged out too long. If I'm Pete, I'm telling him, hey, my Mets legacy is done, okay? Get me signed somewhere where I'll get more money than they offered and get it done by February. I need to be with a team. I need to be with my new teammates, getting acquainted, meeting them, working out with them, getting to know them, their families. Like, I need to be where I'm going to be next, and it's easier said than done. Like, they're pointing to Toronto for Pete Alonso. There's not a big market for him. So it's a congratulations, you played yourself, Pete. We can feel bad for Pete because the Mets have the richest owner in the sport and they did not just go ahead and give him the contract he wanted, but that would be bad for business. That would be betting against yourself, and it is what it is at the end of the day. Ricky is in Hackettstown, New Jersey. Ricky, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good.
I know you're just calling because Alonzo,
sorry, Ricky. Call us back, please. If you guys are on speaker, none of us can hear you. It gets hollow, breaking up. Let's go to Matt in Westchester. Hopefully, Matt is all good on his line.
Yeah, how you doing, Keith?
Good. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I actually called up about a year ago. It's my second time pulling up your show.
Thank you.
So I just want to talk about Sasaki. You know, I just wonder, like, you know, these guys who come over from Japan, it's like, you know, do they know, like, they can go to, like, other teams in the Dodgers? I mean, it's like, I feel like all these guys from Japan, it's like, their goal is, like, not to come to America to play in the major leagues. It's like to come to America to play for the Dodgers.
It used to be different.
It's getting ridiculous.
I love Japanese culture. I love the anime. I love the video games. I love so many different things like growing up that came out of Japanese culture. And even baseball players, specifically Yankees. I was a big fan of Hiroki Kuroda, Masahiro Tanaka coming over from the Golden Eagles. Golden Eagles. Talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. Nah, it's stuck in my head. The Eagles. what I'm saying is there used to be this culture thing where the Japanese players did not want to all be on the same team. You've seen Japanese players go to the Cubs, go to the Dodgers, go to the Padres, go to the Mets, go to the Yankees. Like, it used to be this thing of, like, not wanting to outshine their countrymen over in this country. That has all changed with Ohtani. Ohtani is the biggest brand in baseball globally ever. He is everything in Japan, and his influence is so clear. He made his contract so flexible for them to continue to spend and bring in guys, not just Japanese guys. The team is stacked. They go to the postseason. It's not a far, you know, it's a shorter flight home to Japan. Yamamoto goes there. Suzuki goes there. And I got a hard time thinking Munetaka Murakami won't be more inclined to sign with the Dodgers than the Yankees. Those days of, like, the Japanese discipline and not wanting to, you know, steal the spotlight of their countrymen on another team, that's done.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, not only are they just getting three guys, you know, who came up from Japan, they're getting three absolute dogs. Like, you know, these guys can, you know, play. So it's like, you know, yeah, like you said, like, they're loaded. You know, they got guys. You know, now
they've
that Ohtani
MVPs.
Can, you know, pitch this year, you know.
It's just like, when you talk about depth, you know what I think, too, and thanks for the call, Matt, the Dodgers have learned. They have injuries every year. They have learned. Prepare for injuries. When I look at this Mets rotation and this Mets lineup, they're one injury away from panic time. I don't want to put negative energy out there, but Lindor had some back issues last year. I don't want to put negative energy out there, but Juan Soto had a wrist issue that the Yankees were monitoring, shut him down for a series. You don't know how that's going to flare up or not. Jeff McNeil was out for some time. Brandon Nimmo had some issues. Like, they are a couple injuries. I mean, look at Kodai Senga. They are a couple injuries away from hitting the panic button. Like, wait, this team is not ready to compete with the Phillies and the Braves and the Dodgers and the Padres. Bob is down on Bradley Beach on the Fan in New York. What's up, Bob?
I'm calling about Alonso, and I think it would be a big mistake if the Mets let him go. To Mets fans, he is our, for lack of a better term, but he...
Sorry, Bob. I'm sorry, I can't do it. I don't know if it was the heat, and then also you're kind of late on the Pete Alonso stuff. Last night we were talking about it. I think by now, after A.J. Minter has signed for, what, 2 years, $22 million, after Jesse Winker is brought back, they have already started the great Pete pivot. It's on. Like, and if I'm Pete Alonso, I wouldn't want to come back at this point after hearing how all the fans think about me now.
It's clear. Well, luckily, it's clear that he never wanted to come back.
Oh, here we go.
What do you mean, here we go? It's clear he never wanted to come back. So he doesn't even have to worry about that. That's clear that he never wanted to come back.
And if I didn't say it, thanks for the call, Bob. And everyone listening, please just, I don't know if that was the heat blasting. It sounded like speaker again.
Can everyone get off speaker? If you're on hold, if I've screened you once, I've screened so many calls in my time at WFAN. Get off speaker. Alonso never wanted to be a Met. He never wanted to resign.
That's a lie.
He had 8 years to resign, Keith. He had 8 years to tell his representation to get a job done. No. That's different. He said he wanted to be a Met for life. If you truly believe that you want to be somewhere for life, it doesn't matter how much you get paid. You sign it. And you're like, you know what? I want to be a part of this. This is special. I want to be a part of this. And by the way, $25 million a year, $22.5 million a year isn't chump change.
He wanted to be a part of the old Mets. These new Juan Soto Mets, not so much.
Well, it's, in theory, it's Francisco Lindor's Mets. And I'm sure there's a little jealousy, by the way.
I would assume so.
And I'm sure there's a little jealousy that he completely got overshadowed last season, minus this, in minus
his walk
in Milwaukee.
Year, in his prove-it year, Lindor had a runner-up MVP year where if everybody wasn't always glazing Ohtani, he should have been the MVP.
And by the way, if Pete doesn't hit that home run in Milwaukee, I don't even know if he gets any work. I don't even think the Mets offer him.
No, you're right. He was going outside. I was talking about it last night in that game, falling over his bat. In that game, not making that play in foul territory on the netting. I'm like, this guy, if the Mets lose this game, forget about it completely. Like, he's gone. There is no thought of bringing him back at any price.
Right, and it's sad because, again, He's not going to re-sign at this point, I don't think. And that's a massive loss in the Met lineup. This isn't against Pete Alonso, the player. This is against Pete Alonso, the businessman, and Scott Boras, and whoever misread the market so poorly that he declined two offers for the Mets. Clearly say, after he stated that he wanted to be a Met for life. So all I can come to in the last 8 years is that he's been lying to Mets fans, and he has stabbed Mets fans, not in the back, in the heart.
Yeah, this is where you've gotten to on like day two of realizing that Pete Alonso's tenure's done. I think it's more about the richest owner in the sport. I think it's about knowing that this guy is made of money and has wasted a ton of money, and Pete played for nothing at first. When he came up...
So he expects a hometown discount because he's been a lifelong Met?
No, not a hometown discount.
He wants a handout?
Yes, he wants a little bit more grace. Extend a little bit more because I know you got it. I'm in your pockets.
Right.
Yes.
So what is it? So what? How am I supposed to take that as a business person, as an owner of a team, if this guy doesn't want to? If he's essentially blackmailing me for money, is he a team player?
It's not blackmail.
Is he a team player?
He's a player and an owner and business. As far as hey, look at what I've done for the team, right? And they say in baseball, you get paid off of what you've done, not what you're gonna do. And he just watched Juan Soto, who hasn't done anything for the Mets, get $800 million over the next 15
Juan
years.
Juan Soto's a top three player in the sport. Alonso maybe is a top 30 player.
He's an all-star. I've been hearing people tear Pete Alonso down all week. He's a multiple-time all-star.
Agreed.
He's a prolific home run hitter.
Agreed.
He's not done at age 30. Just turned 30.
I agree with that. I wish he didn't lie to Mets fans
for
the last 8 years.
He didn't lie. He wants his bread, yo. You can't knock a man for feeling like he deserves more money than they put out there for him.
Listen, if he doesn't think $23 million a year is enough, that is on him. But don't say...
He said he wanted to be a Met. He loves being a Met.
Don't say you love being a Met, and you have ample opportunities to do it. And he's... Every single time he has turned them down. That we know of.
LFGM, the polar bear.
That we know of.
He was in City commercials for City Field, City credit card. Let's go out to Long Island and talk to Ryan on the Fan next. What's up, Ryan?
Hi. Do you guys not just think, though, with this whole, you know, Pete Alonso leaving plan, that we're kind of just putting all of our, like, eggs in, like, basket of Vientos? I mean, he had a good second half of the year, but... We're relying so much on him. We haven't seen enough of him.
No, it's a real thing that we have to think about now, right? They never loved Vientos until they made, like, he made them love him. Like, I remember hearing Vientos can't hit. I remember hosts on this station talking about, oh, Vientos is worthless. He can't hit. He can't field. And then even when they signed J.D. Martinez last year, Mets fans were like, why are you signing J.D. Martinez? We need to see Vientos. Let Vientos DH. I'm like, a 24-year-old DH? He became this year. He came up a little later. And he got hot, and he performed in the postseason. Now, his bat, I'm not so worried about because it's proven. I don't know if it's proven, but he did prove it in 1 year. I think he's still going to be some form of that. I don't know how much he'll be able to duplicate, whatever. But I would trust that he's going to bring his bat. I wouldn't trust so much that he's just going to be able to flip and play first base. I think we underestimate how tough it is to play every game at first base and how hard it is to transition if you haven't been doing that. I don't know. Maybe he has some experience under his belt, but to think that you could just move on from Pete Alonso and say, okay, Mark Vientos is our everyday first baseman, and that might also affect his approach at the plate. He might be thinking too much. So, no, it's certainly a talking point. I'm sure Evans is going to do a Rico on it. Like, I got to look out for that one. The Mark Vientos at first base, Rico Bronya's got to be loading in the next week or so.
Yeah, but, I mean, even last year at third, we saw that his, you know, his fielding ability isn't fully there yet.
Yeah, like, and Brett longer. Beatty as well. So now Brett Beatty's your third baseman.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't love that.
It's not something that you're supposed to love. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate the call. You're not supposed to love the departure of Pete Alonso, feeling like this, looking like this, being like this. You're not supposed to love the changes in your infield after losing a guy like that. And at least today, unless they sign someone else or they, I don't even know what they do, it's Vientos at first base and Brett Beatty at third base. And I wouldn't feel so confident about your infield defense just with those two names, just with those two guys being at the corners. 888-808-1019. Let's break here. I see some football calls. People that want to talk football, it is a football Friday. Stay on hold. We'll get to you. When we come back, I'll sprinkle a little football in there. Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
It's a football Friday on The Fan. But a lot of us football fans are also baseball fans, and a lot of the baseball fans are listening for the baseball conversation and are like, yeah, whatever with the football. So I'll mix in a couple takes for the NFL divisional round right now. As we've obviously been talking about Pete Alonso and the Dodgers and Roque Sasaki and the state of baseball with the Dodgers deferring money and adding another star to their team, and the Mets kind of having to pivot here, the great Pete Alonso pivot, I'm already calling it, and they sign A.J. Minter and bring back Jesse Winker. What I'm thinking with these games, and man, this is a great weekend. It's funny because I've lost thousands of dollars in my life gambling, and this is a weekend that I don't think I'm going to gamble. And Paulie's laughing at me. I don't care. I'll admit it. Anybody that gambles and acts like they win all the time and like they're not down, like lifetime, I'm probably down a year's salary. Not the salary I make now, but like maybe a salary I made once upon a time. Once upon a time. And like I'm from the shore, so like I started going to Mom at the Racetrack when I was 16, and we were betting illegally underage. And you know, the apps, we've been betting on FanDuel, DraftKings, the apps before New York. So that's why I'm in the hole. But sometimes I come up, sometimes I come down. I think I'm just going to abstain this week because I don't trust these spreads. I don't trust these spreads at all. The Kansas City Chiefs minus 8.5. The total for the game is 41.5. The Chiefs struggled all year to score 30 points. The Chiefs didn't blow anybody out. The Chiefs are rested, yes. And if you heard my open, I said they have their full complement of weapons. They've got three running backs, right? They got to get Isaiah Pacheco going. They have Kareem Hunt. Really four. If they want to go Carson Steele, Perine. They have all their tight ends. Travis Kelce will magically turn back the clock. I guarantee it. He makes some plays. Taylor Swift has told him, babe, don't retire. I fully support you. I'm a billionaire. I don't care what you do, honestly. Noah Gray, Justin Watson. Yeah, they're good on that front. Wide receivers. They brought back Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Not that he's going to be the main threat, but they do have DeAndre Hopkins. They do have Hollywood Brown. They did draft Xavier Worthy. I mean, they're set. They're set offensively with weapons. And Andy Reid is diabolical. He is going to come out there with different formations. He's going to come out there with different personnel, things that D'Amico Ryans and the Texans have not seen. And let's see if Will Anderson and Derek Stingley Jr. and those boys can slow them down in Arrowhead. I don't see the Chiefs covering that 8.5, but they probably will. But I'm not betting it. It's not a safe bet. 888-808-1019. I don't think the 9.5 for Detroit is either, with the Lions and Commanders. I do think that the Jaden Daniels magic wears off. And I think Aaron Glenn's got something for that ass. We'll talk about it, man. I'm up against another break already. It's about to be 8 o'clock. 888-808-1019. Let's break it down real quick. We'll hit the update, and I'll be right back.